And there we go. Hi, everyone. Welcome to December's LHON Live Call. It's crazy that it's December, that year flew. But wanted to thank everyone for coming. I apologize ahead of time. I'm hyper and super excited normally, and I'm running my first full marathon on Sunday, so I'm extra amped. So if I talk too fast, ask me to repeat. I apologize. So we have a great call this evening, and we have Aaron Cox with us, and kind of a cool new spin for sure. Aaron actually spoke at the LHON conference in Pittsburgh 2 years ago. She is a wife of an affected, and they have two cute little boys, and so it's cool to kind of hear her perspective as a wife, but also to kind of hear her perspective, like how they've changed things at the home. And Neil handles everything at the home, and when I think about things that were hard when I adjusted, it's the laundry and cleaning, and you know, it's like that sort of stuff, and like that's like his jam, and to master that, like, dang, that's awesome. So it's cool that we're going to be able to get Aaron's perspective and kind of talk a little bit about the holidays and, you know, the different things that kind of we go through when we're opening gifts, you know, like, what is it, sort of thing. Just kind of those little things, and if you guys kind of have questions for Aaron or just want to chirp in with ideas around the holidays or family stuff, definitely chirp in and ask Aaron questions, and then we'll definitely want to take some time for any newcomers that we might have on the call as well. So just a quick reminder, it's *6 to mute and *6-7 to unmute. So if everyone would mute, and we want to introduce Aaron. And Aaron, thank you so much for joining us. This is Aaron's first LHON live call. I reached out to her a couple days ago, and with the holidays, and my brain's in marathon brain. So it was awesome that she totally stepped in, and so we're excited to have her. So Aaron, welcome to LHON live.
Thank you, Jessica. Hi, everybody. In 2012, my husband was diagnosed, and when I think about everything, here we are 3 years later, and I would say that I told Jessica, Neil has not embraced being blind, but has embraced our new life, I guess, if that makes sense. So we have two boys, and it's funny because our eight-year-old doesn't have a lot of memories of when Neil was could see, and they're very. It's just very much that's my dad. It doesn't. I don't know. It doesn't. Kids are remarkable, I guess, and our 11-year-old helps Neil with anything around the house that he may need help with, but when Neil lost his sight, he also lost his job because it was a liability and safety concern, and so we decided that he would just be a stay-at-home dad, and he has done that better than I could ever be a sighted stay-at-home mom. Like Jessica says, he does the laundry, he does the cleaning, he very much has a routine, a schedule, he's always been very orderly, and thankfully his need to do things well has not been, has not dampened his ability to work around the house. He's kind of just embraced his new role, so to speak.
Perfectionist, right?
Yes. And I thought it could go two ways, and it's gone the good way. I figured that maybe there would be a bit of a, you know, forget it if I can't do it how I'm used to doing it or as well as I used to be able to do it, then I'm not going to even attempt it. And, you know, he sits at the sock basket for a couple hours, but that's kind of just been his routine, and he does it, and and does it well. Certainly, well enough that I come home very happy. You know, he goes on a walk every day, minus days like today where it's snowing and 30 degrees outside, but, his role has changed dramatically. Like I said, he's embraced that role. And I think that, it's a role that we obviously didn't expect to come or, wouldn't say that is what we planned on, but, for the sake of our children, which is our number one priority and concern, it's benefited them greatly to have their father at home after school and up in the morning with them, to be able to go to evening functions, and so forth. So, our adjustment, we feel like we're in a good kind of flow of things and life is very different than it was 2 years ago. And then Jessica talked a little bit about the holidays, which really struck me because I forgot. It was a good reminder to me that it was a really hard time for Neil last year and the year before. And I think I have to do a better job of being aware of that. It's really easy for him to feel isolated, especially when the kids are opening presents because he can't see anything, obviously, that's going on. And so when we're in a, especially when we're at, like, in-laws or my parents and everybody's opening presents, then he can kind of just get lost in the commotion and have no idea what's going on and would like to be part of that joy. That was a good reminder for me and how difficult that can be.
I was kind of, Erin and I were talking that, and many of you guys might have some ideas, like, there's got to be, like, some families do, like, a special game, especially with kids, like, okay, go, you have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and it's just cool, and, you know, like, to kind of be cool, I don't even know if Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are cool anymore, but you know what I mean, like, they're cool, like, you kind of add some excitement to the kids' hype, and then it's, like, this cool descriptive, and the kids kind of learn to be
right.
Super descriptive, so that'd be kind of fun to kind of, like, turn it into a game, but, and some of you guys might have some other ideas of, like, what you guys do in your families to kind of keep the present surprise thing fun, especially for us that can't see it. But, Erin, when we were talking, what's really cool and what inspires me about your family is that whatever you guys did, you did it what was best for you guys, you know? Like,
yeah.
Some people find things that are different, like you kind of found a different job, whereas some people can't keep what they have, but you kind of just make changes to make it work. And you do what's best for you, you know? Like, there's so many things that, like, I do differently now, but I do definitely because it's better for me. So it's cool to kind of see that your family just kind of morphed into what was good for them. And that's perfect, you know? Like, that's exactly what it needs to be, and if you just kind of find, like, a niche that works, and if it works for your family and makes you guys happy, like, that's exactly where you guys should be, you know? And it's cool
yeah.
to kind of hear your transition from 2 years ago, and
yeah.
then now it's
yeah,
so different, right?
Right. It's, you know, I don't know. Obviously, Neil and his uncle are the only two people that I see on a regular basis with this. So it's amazing how Neil has adjusted and how just life has continued and. You know, things that I never 2 years ago thought we would be able to do or he would be able to do. For the most part, he's very, very much self-sufficient. And, you know, there's everything from doing the laundry and cleaning to shaving and things like that where, you know, I think initially it all seems impossible. But yes, we very much have taken the situation and made it work for our kids, for our family, but putting the kids at the center of it. And again, it's not what we ever dreamed of, but I feel so thankful that Neil's at home and is able to be an active part of the kids' life, and kind of in a role that's not typically seen. And I think that someday the kids will understand what a wonderful thing that was.
Aaron, this is Jim.
Yes. Hey, how are you?
You forgot to tell them about the smoker that your husband made last summer.
Oh, yes, that's true. Yeah.
I mean, I've heard about it, how good the ribs and brisket were, but I haven't got to taste any yet.
Yeah. Neil last summer, the thing with Neil is he can't sit still, and so he comes up with projects at home that just kind of happen by mistake, supposedly, and then turn into these big projects that we have to finish. Last winter, him and his dad enclosed, we had an overhang, kind of a back porch, and they enclosed it into some more space inside the house. And then we just finished, or him and his dad just finished adding a, I don't know, what do you call it, Neil? Like a bar area to our kitchen. And then this summer, he wanted to try to build a smoker. And it's not only does it look amazing, it makes the best meat, chicken, and ribs, and brisket, and so forth. So I think that that's another example of just being amazed by what he's able to accomplish despite his circumstance. So,
it's one of those things where don't tell me I can't do it, I'm going to prove I can.
Yeah. I don't know if it's called just stubbornness or...
Yeah.
I don't know, but it has gotten him pretty far, so...
Erin didn't also tell her oldest son, Jake, is very smart with the computers and the iPhones, and he's been a help to both. I'm Uncle Jim, and he's been a big help to myself as well as Neil also, hasn't he, Erin?
Yeah, I think that we will never be able to, like, I don't know, what Jake does for Neil is just, I don't even know how to explain it, and but I think that has driven our 11-year-old to be so involved in technology and kind of in innovative. He had to do a project and had to create an invention, and it was all about created a product that would keep socks together, and it was all fueled because of Neil being blind. And so, yeah, I think just Neil's situation has kind of, in one breath I can say that the kids it's not even a big deal, but in the next breath I think it's impacted them in some really cool ways, so.
How long have you had LHON, Uncle Jim?
43 years.
Okay.
I had them all in the Marine Corps 43 years ago is when it came on.
And how's your vision today?
Pardon?
How's your vision today, Uncle Jim?
I'm sorry. Go ahead and say that again.
Oh, how's your vision today, Uncle Jim, since you've had it for a while?
I've had it since I was 20 years old. I came home, in fact, to go hunting before Neil's dad and my sister were married. And Dennis and I were really good friends back then, and I pulled the shotgun up, and I couldn't see the bead at the end of the barrel, is how I first noticed it. of just progressed from there, and it's been the same since, oh, it stabilized when I was probably 21, and it's been that way ever since.
Oh, wow.
We have a nephew also in Texas that has this also, my other sister's son.
Well, oh,
his
okay.
is not his is not as bad as Neil's and mine. He can still hold an iPhone close and read it, whereas Neil and I can't really do that.
Mm-mm.
How old are you now?
I'm 63.
Aaron, it's Maria. Can you touch a little bit about how Neil actually realized he was losing vision? Because I think it's a great story.
So he was working, and his coworker had a birthday party for her daughter or son, I'm not sure, and Neil picked up a pirate patch and put it on and was like, oh, my gosh, I cannot see out of my left eye. And he came home and talked about it, and we were all giving him a hard time. Oh, yeah, you're just getting old, you know. And then the next day he was mowing, because he had a side business where he would mow lawns, and he got a thorn stuck in his good eye, or his right eye, and so they got him right in. And in the meantime, the eye doctor who was working on the thorn was like, I am not worried about your right eye at all. This thorn, we can take care of it, but I don't know what's going on with your left eye. We, you know, you have to be seen. And so we were at the doctor's all day, and they didn't really know. I mean, they weren't sure. And then we saw the neuro ophthalmologist, and just going through Neil's family history, that she thought that it could possibly be that. And then an MRI. Neil also has been diagnosed with MS, or LHON plus. That's kind of how he found out that what was happening. And it was, so June he noticed, and then by December of that year, we got the official diagnosis, and it went from 20 over 200 to finger count within those few months.
Mm-hmm. Aaron, it's Lisa from Canada. I'm just curious as to how old Neil is when he lost his vision.
He was 35. Yeah, 35.
Okay.
Which, you know, I don't know if that's easier or hard. I don't know. I mean, Neil, in making lemonade from lemons, he feels so fortunate to have that time. I don't know if it's easier or harder. I don't know, but, you know.
Yes,
he definitely got to see me in my best years. That's
right. I would like to make a comment to you, Aaron. It's Lisa again. Aside from all of us that have LHON, you truly are an amazing and remarkable wife support system by the sounds of it. And you should thanked. You know, you're saying all these wonderful things about your husband, but it's also another role that you've taken on, and you should pat yourself on the back and commend
yourself
for what you've done as well. And
I really appreciate that.
And, you know, as
don't
well
get
as
too
me.
Big-headed, Aaron.
I said to Jessica, like, there's days that I'm like, there are very few, but there are days that I'm like, why do I have to do the bills? And why do I have to go drive everywhere? And why? But, it's just, I guess.
Can Neil use a CCTV or no?
You know what? Neil, very little. Neil, I think his stubbornness has, he's, like, just done things. Well, he uses a lot of Siri. on his phone, and that's about it. I mean, he just, I don't know. I don't know if he'll come around, but he used his walking stick one time and almost got hit, and he just hasn't, I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know if my role is to be more of an encourager or to just let him, things happen in his own time, but he just doesn't.
Isn't, Aaron, isn't part of that, though, the lady that was helping him never started, she started coming around and then just stopped?
Yeah.
And Neil got a lot, he got discouraged?
Yeah, services in Illinois, because our state is just horrendous. It's pitiful. It's, you know, my heart sincerely goes out for people that don't have a supportive family or a support team to help them through it, because the services are just shameful. Although last night, this is crazy, Neil called me and was like over the moon excited. And I said, what, tell me. And he said, you know, our neighbors that just moved in a week ago. And I said, yeah. He's like, the lady's job is she teaches the blind. She teaches them how to use a walking stick, and she teaches them how to read Braille and stuff. And we, like, firmly believe that was, like, maybe it's Neil's time now to embrace that kind of, take a more active role in kind of embracing these things. So he tried, but it was just made so difficult that he just was like, forget it. So,
what is his vision? Yeah. Numbers, you know, 20 over 400, 800, or
you know, the last, I swear the doctor said 20 over 8,000. But then she always uses finger count. Like, that's what she says.
Yeah, I think the thousands as far as they go, and after that, then they just refer to count fingers at,
okay.
at like,
okay,
5 inches
yeah.
after a
count
thousand.
Count fingers, yeah. Yeah, and I think he just saw his neuro-ophthalmologist, like, a month ago, and she said she feels like it's the same as it was a year ago, but... And I think that Neil, you know, if he goes somewhere that he hasn't been since he lost his vision, or that he hasn't been since the early, within months of losing his vision, he feels like it's worse, but we don't know if that's just because he hasn't been there in forever. I think definitely he would say his color has changed, has gotten worse.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Hey, Aaron, it's Lisa. Has he tried a tool, an app called Line Square?
No, not that I know of.
You might want to look at it if you haven't already. It's called, you can find it at like blindsquare.com, and we had a speaker talk about it at the conference, and it's like $30,
okay.
I think. And folks who do use an iPhone that have tried it, you know, some people have been really, you know, excited about how it sort of opens up the neighborhood, and it sounds like he goes walking and stuff, and I know we had somebody speak on the call about, you know, he was walking and he kind of got lost and didn't know how to explain where he was, and Blind Square tells him where he is, and, you know, it's for $30. Some folks have found it to be a really exciting app that lets them be independent and not rely on other resources, so it might be worth a check.
Right.
Has anybody ever tried the app on the phone for colors?
This is Maria. The color ID doesn't work that well. It just kind of gives you a pinkish, bluish, purplish. It just says ish a lot. So I don't even use the color ID personally.
Okay.
But, yeah, no.
Does he use VoiceOver? You say he uses Siri a lot. Does he use VoiceOver or not?
Yeah, color ID does VoiceOver, yeah.
No, I meant the person that we're talking about, the gentleman we're talking about, does he use VoiceOver on his phone?
Yes.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, in fact, Aaron's son Jake is the one that set mine up for the triple tap to go to VoiceOver.
Yeah.
On the iPhone.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Neil uses that for everything, pretty much. I mean, yeah.
Aaron, this is Brody
Siri
from Canada.
Officer.
You guys said you lived in Illinois, right?
Yes.
That's correct.
Okay. I know that. I think that the Hadley School for the Blind is in Illinois, and they offer some really good courses that are, you know, self-paced and whatever and whatnot. And I'm learning Braille through them, and I'm doing business law, and there's a bunch of other courses. So if you want to check it out, there's a website.
Definitely.
And, yeah,
that's a really great resource.
Yeah, it's all
on YouTube. Yeah, the Hadley School for the Blind, they got lots of stuff on YouTube. That's I learned most of my voiceover on YouTube from them.
Awesome. Yeah, I think that there's so much stuff that we are not aware of. And again, I guess I'm feel like I'm so supportive in whatever he chooses, but I'm kind of letting him take his own time to navigate it and get there when he's ready, I guess.
This is Maria. Wayne. Go ahead, Wayne.
Not again. Don't do that. So has has Neil used a CCTV? Has he?
No.
You know,
no, we have.
Tried one out.
Yeah, he does. We do have one. He doesn't, I would say he uses it maybe once a week, to look up a number or to, have to write down a phone number. But he definitely does not, utilize it the way he does Siri.
Okay. I was just curious. Go ahead, Mark.
Is he using the KNFB reader or anything like that, with his iPhone that he can actually read text?
No, he just uses VoiceOver.
Well, VoiceOver is great for, you know, maneuvering within apps and text messages and email and that kind of thing. But with the KNFB app, you can actually, you know, basically you're taking a picture of a text, even something on a computer screen or TV screen, and it will read it back to you.
What is it called again?
KNFB Reader.
Okay.
You can get the app, and it will give you a trial version of it, which is nice now.
Oh, that's good.
In December.
It's expensive, like $100, though.
But it's worth it. It is truly worth it.
Okay.
Really is.
Okay.
It's
really
on sale this month.
Occasionally, it's been on sale for $50 if you get lucky and catch it, but it's worth the full price if you can afford it.
Okay.
And what you can do is you can go to the LHON Facebook group, and like I do during all the calls, the things that are coming up, like the Hadley School, Blind Square, whatever.
Okay.
I'm putting links up, KNFB Reader. I'm putting links up, so you can, instead of like writing it down and remembering, you can just go find it and link over to it, and you can go find the things we talked about here.
Awesome.
Where do you live in Illinois?
We live in Champaign, where the University of Illinois is.
Okay. How far is that from like Chicago?
20 miles.
It's about 2.5 hours or so.
Oh, okay. Well, there's a really good lighthouse in for the blind in Chicago. If you know, that could be a good resource, even if you weren't able to go.
I have heard about that.
So he was working on mobility skills, orientation, mobility, and that's what the person dropped. Or is that? Do I understand that correctly?
He was working on Braille. He was working on like a technology, computer stuff, and it just got to the point where she would never come when she was supposed to, and it was just very frustrating. So
wasn't it also, Aaron, because of the state budget constraints? One lady was taking care of like a 5 or 6 county area.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, now you've got you don't have a budget in Illinois.
No, we have nothing.
Everything's all gummed up. But when that gets ironed out, it would be worth trying to get you know, get back in touch with the agency and see what they can do.
Definitely.
Hi, this is Gail Oster from New Jersey. I just have a question. I was looking into something else for my son. I don't know if anybody's familiar with this or they've used it. It's called eSight. I think it's made in some Canadian company.
Mm-hmm.
It's not covered by insurance. It's like a pair of glasses that take pictures. They have a remote control. I don't know all the details. I know that they're doing some trial in Secaucus. My son signed up for it because he's lost his vision now, and he's on a waiting list for a trial. It's been around for 2 years. It's like anywhere between $10,000 and $15,000.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to find out if anyone's familiar with it.
I've seen them last February. This is Brody from Canada. I seen them when I was in Toronto last February. They do work for a numerous number of eye conditions, but the extensive, you know, payment, sure, that's, you know, it's that everyone can't afford. I personally can't afford that, but I noticed that they're really bulky. It was almost like you had a pair of night vision glasses almost. It was like, they didn't like, it was good. It would be good for something if you're wanting to read something, but it wouldn't be good for walking around because, you know, you get depth perception, vertigo and whatnot. That's personally what I thought because I tried them on. I was walking around the arena when we had the hockey tournament and it just didn't work for me. I don't know. Everyone's different though too, right? So that's just my personal experience with it.
Did you try it on for like a whole day, or did they let you wear it for a week?
No, I can only try it on when there was like a spokesperson at the tournament, and so they kind of just let everyone try it out. And so I tried it out. The Libres is on the list because there's a whole list of, you know, eye conditions that it would help.
Right,
know,
it
says
it works
with
the Libres. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so I did try it out, but, you know, it depends. Like, cause I was in the arena when there's lots of bright lights, and, you know, obviously lights are just a concern for me. I can't really see that well in bright lights. And it was, you know, it could work, right? So don't never discourage. Like, you know, try it out. Get on that list like you said you were, I think. And then just, you know, try it out, obviously, but that's just my personal opinion. It was too big and bulky, and I couldn't walk around with them. Like, it would be just something I'd wear at home kind of thing. But, yeah, so... That's my...
Yeah, my son is trying to get into this trial Monday, and I guess this Friday locally. They're all booked up. He's on a waiting list. He was thinking about getting it for work because he's having a tough time at work.
Okay, yeah.
Did you say you're from New Jersey, ma'am?
Yes, he lives in the city, in New York, but I'm from New Jersey.
You might,
might
look up Chicago, the Lighthouse for the Blind in Chicago. In Champaign this last summer, they had a demonstration there, had a booth with all their technology. And the person that is the CEO for Lighthouse for Blind also has a visual problem. I don't believe it was Libres, but he has a pair of eSight glasses as well, and they might be able to put you in contact with somebody close to where you are in New Jersey to demonstrate these for you.
Okay. Oh, I appreciate that. So contact the Lighthouse in Chicago?
Yes, they might know somebody in your area that sells these or, you know, where you can go nearby to – you know, get a demonstration of them.
Okay, I know my son does go to the Lighthouse in New York, and they're making three pairs of glasses for him at this very moment. We don't know if any of them are going to help, but that's in progress. So we had just heard about the eSight, but I appreciate that. I will. Thank you.
This is Maria. I actually tried the eSight glasses on here in San Diego at a trade show, and I'm kind of with Brody. I put them on, and it was just too, they were too cumbersome for one, but also it just didn't make that much difference to warrant, you know, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000. And I kept asking, well, I thought I would be able to see these beautiful images and all this stuff, but it just didn't work. I just don't think using our peripheral works quite, you know, depending on your vision, works with these very well. I asked him, I said, well, do you let people just try them for a couple weeks and then we can make, you know, that's a lot of money to spend. He said, no, they don't. But I said, well, you know, just from this, I wouldn't buy them from this demo. And he says, well, we actually work with you and customize it and all this stuff. And I was like, it just sounded way too complicated. And it just, you know, to me, maybe, again, my personal opinion, it was not worth it.
Were you able to see better with them? I mean, because my son has no central. He just has some peripheral in one eye.
You know, I could see. I was with Lissa, and I looked at Lissa, and I said, you know, I could see, you know, just dark spaces where her eyes were. And, again, she was standing fairly close, if I recall. But I said, smile, then not smile. So I could see if I could see a facial expression because, you know, I would love. Right. And it was shaky at best. And okay. I was very excited, and Lissa will attest to this. I was really excited to get there and try these on. I thought, I've seen these on Dr. Oz. I've seen these on the Rachel Ray Show.
Exactly, right.
Right? But if you if you notice, the gentleman on Dr. Oz, the girl on Rachel Ray, they put them on, and I'm just saying, my personal thing was, there was no reaction. They sat there after they put these eSight glasses on and just sat there. If I had put on eSight glasses and could see my child for the first time, I'd be hysterical. But both of them, I don't know if anyone picked up on this, just sat there and kind of went, oh, uh-huh. Because honestly, I don't think they were working that well. And, you know, anyway, that's my opinion. And I, again, like Brody, I didn't think they really worked for me. I didn't try and read with them, but I don't think they're a magnification device by any means. So try them, though. I say everyone should try them so they know. I had to try them out for myself, too. I was insistent, and I got that chance, you know, luckily. So anyway.
And, Gail, this is the fun. Just adding on to what people are saying, when the eSight glasses first came out, and they're not glasses, actually. They call them eyewear. But when they did first come out, everyone was so excited about them that I contacted them and asked them if they would exhibit at our conference in 2014, which they did, which was great. Okay. And a good number of people did have the opportunity to try them out. And the takeaway, kind of what you're hearing, was sort of underwhelming. It was, for a few people, yeah, and for a lot of people it was, eh. So, you know, I think you're on a good path of, hey, let Jason try them if he gets the opportunity, but it's not like his world's going to end or he's not missing the greatest thing since sliced bread if he misses the opportunity. For some people, yep. You know, there's some folks in the group who do own them, and because the person who was representing the company did have labors, and so he joined this group, and he's, you know, he can answer questions, and for him they work, but for a lot of people, you know, they don't. So it's not, you know, the end of the world if it doesn't work for you. It was, my impression was, Maria, wouldn't you say it was having a CCTV glued to your face. It wasn't like you were really seeing. It was, you were getting a CCTV image, and it was, you know, hunkered onto your head. And I think we asked the guy, like, why do you like this? And the guy kind of said, well, I like to do construction work, and I need to be able to see stuff close up, but I also need to be able to use my hands, so I can't hold up a visual aid tool while I'm using my hands doing my woodworking. So for him, it served a really important need. Now, I think he also had more peripheral vision left than Maria, and I think that's a big piece of it, is, like Brody mentioned, LH1 is on the list because people who have peripheral vision can use that vision to make eSight work. But you have to have a lot of peripheral vision left, and a lot of folks with LHON don't necessarily. So that's why it becomes really personal. How much do you have left? And then does it really, you know, like Maria was like drooling for a CCTV. That was way more for her than these glasses, and it was way cheaper. So again, it's worth trying. And then what they do is they help you do a fundraising campaign. They work with you to set up a GoFundMe type of a campaign, and then you try and get people to contribute to help pay for it, to defray the cost. That's sort of their marketing approach.
This is Candace. Can I say something? So I'm not sure if you said that you're on a waiting list. Is that a waiting list to try them out?
Well, he's on a waiting list. There's a demonstration in Secaucus, and he just heard about it, and he applied for it, so he's on the waiting list. So it's this Friday. They may call and may not.
And you
he
said that
he hasn't even gotten the CCTV yet. We've ordered it. You know, it's been approved, and it's coming. I've heard this for the past 2 weeks. So.
And you said that this would be able to help him in his job?
Right. He went back to work.
Yeah,
he worked in finance with Excel, very small, you know.
So
magnification.
If this turns out that it could help him and it could be an accommodation that there are funds for, you know, the government has funds set aside for, you know, these things like a computer with JAWS or, you know, just different pieces of equipment that help them to do their job like they were before. So that could be an option that maybe they could.
I mean, we were told that nobody's going to pay for this. This is something that we would have to pay for if it helps them.
Does he work for a private company or?
He works for Wells Fargo.
Hello?
He works in finance for Wells Fargo.
It's you know what, it wouldn't hurt to try. They could, you know, I mean, I'm sure stranger things happen. If it's something that would be helpful.
Yeah, well, you know, hopefully he'll get to try it. I just don't know if it'll happen this Friday.
Yeah.
We don't know.
How long has your son had LHON?
5 years ago he lost vision in one eye, and he's at work now, so I know he's not on the conference call. And over the summer, it was a progressive thing back and forth. He also has MS, optic neuritis. He's been treated for optic neuritis in and out of the hospital, and it finally went in October.
Okay.
So, hello?
Hello.
So one eye is very poor, and the other he has peripheral. He's using the eye that he lost 5 years ago. The other one now is just went rapidly. He's blurry. He doesn't see well. He spoke with Dr. Sadoun this week, and Dr. Sadoun didn't think the eSight was anything great, but he wasn't that familiar with it. Hello?
Mm. Yeah.
No, I appreciate everything. He definitely will try it if they call him, but right now we're just looking for other options so he can, function better.
Yeah, there's nothing that perfect, great that you hear people rave about. I mean, I've tried so many different magnifiers and different things. I mean, like CCTV, you know, I write checks and can write envelopes and read cards, store cards. But that's about all I use it for. But, I mean, the only thing that really works well is, you know, magnification on a computer, iPhone. But there's nothing perfect out there to give you great vision.
Yeah, I mean, he uses a telescope, and he has all those apps that everyone has mentioned.
You probably need to pull the...
Yes.
The router that's by the that's on the floor.
Oh, wait a minute. What's
check the phone
on?
First, right?
Yeah,
what is the phone
there?
Doesn't have a dial code.
Okay.
Just pull the plug out of that router. Wait a few minutes and plug it back in.
Jessica.
One on the floor. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we need to mute here. We need to. What is it? Someone's having a full conversation here.
It's echoing.
when someone was talking, someone said, hello, can we hear you? And we can hear you. There
okay.
We go.
There we go.
There we go.
Perfect. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well,
yeah,
let me
and,
just
and
thank
I'll
everybody
just, I'll just
about the e-thing.
Yeah. And I'll piggyback on Wayne, too. I was drooling for my CCTV, and it did take me months and emails and conversations to get, but that has been an absolute lifesaver. It enables me to read again and look at
mm-hmm.
things. And I just recently got a portable magnifier again, months of emails, conversations, begging, and that can go with me so that I can read and look at things outside of my home, be it at a restaurant, a store, at my gym, or whatever I need to do as far as paperwork and things. So those are two big items that I think are extremely valuable if you can in any way get them from the state. Those are the two things that are going to help anybody in this situation continue to be able to do a lot of things. So,
Maria, it's Lisa from Canada. Can you explain your new little present that you just got? I am so envious of it. But can you explain what it's called and what it actually does?
Yeah, it's an Optilect, which is the brand name, compact 7HD video magnifier. And what it is, it's a small little device that has a 7-inch screen. It's in HD, high def, and it actually magnifies, I don't even know what up to, but I can magnify all the way up to like one number on the screen. But it's like a portable CCTV in that I can change the color combinations. I can go high contrast or reverse. I can enlarge, you know, up to pretty big magnification, and it I can hold it up to something on a wall, and I can also, it pops a little stand open, and I can glide it along a document or something to read at the same time. It charges, so it's, you know, ready to go. I don't have to have it plugged into a wall all the time, and it's gorgeous.
What is Optilect compactor?
It's an Optilect, and Lissa can probably put on the link. Optilect compact 7HD. 7 stands for the 7-inch screen. HD high definition video magnifier.
The link is like the
I have the same. I have the same thing as well. Another way to describe it is like taking an iPad mini. It's almost, it looks, actually, that's what's nice to take it to office meetings, because I've had other portable devices in the past, and you get all those contraptions and say, what is that? But, you know, in a meeting, and I can explain, well, it's a video magnifier, it's portable, because there have been portable devices in the past, there have been contraptions, to say the least. But this looks like an iPad mini. And so it just sits, when you press the button, it just comes up at an angle. It's almost like it's just tilted. And then you just move it around on the desk or the table during a meeting. So it looks like an iPad mini, probably the best way to describe it.
Okay, yeah.
Just, so my question as well, though, as far as this device is, just to say, is there's the CCTV, the big one that, like Mary mentioned, she has. And then, of course, there's the 7-inch that I use for meetings. But the 7-inch is, she mentioned 7 inches. This is, not, I mean, you can take your places with you, but it's nice for meetings to see things, because you need something big like that. But also I have, like, a couple of smaller ones, a 4.3-inch, and also the 5-inch Optilect as well. And those look more like an iPhone, something very small that you can put in your pocket and take to the grocery store, because the 7-inch is a little big, as you can imagine, Maria, right, to take to the grocery store and start reading, you know, the Campbell soup recipe. But if you have something like an iPhone, and I've tried the magnifiers on the iPhone, those apps, they just don't cut it. The actual devices, you won't see them. There's many different kinds out there. But the Optilect makes a couple of real nice ones, a 4.3-inch and a 5-inch. And those are nice that you can actually put in your pocket and take. So, unfortunately, for all of us in the phone area, we could have to have, like, almost like three devices, a 4-5-inch one, a 7-inch one, and then a big desktop model. We're loaded down with equipment, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, it was just another reason for me to buy a new purse, so I just had to get a bigger, cuter purse to fit all my stuff in. So, okay, I was cool with getting the 7-inch, but it is gorgeous, and like Jim said, you pop a button and it kind of comes up at an angle, but you can also turn it on so that you can hold it up to something like a price or a can or something in a store as well. Comes with a handy little, wrist strap so you don't drop it on accident, but it's gorgeous. It's just gorgeous, and I'm just thankful that I was able to obtain this.
And you know what was really cool, actually, who inspired me with this, because I actually just want one too. We were sitting at dinner. It was right after the LA Twin Conference, and all of us were sitting at dinner, and all of a sudden Julie busts out this little CCTV, the mini mobile one, and everyone, like all of either like moms, dads, spouses are all reading us blind friends all the menu, and Julie like breaks out her CCTV and she reads the menu and she puts it down like, okay, I know what I'm gonna get. And I'm like, whoa, that was so fast. Like, it was so cool, because that's kind of like one of the things where like, okay, read me the menu, you know, like we just kind of sit there and wait. And then she just like busts out a little bit of cool independence, and I was like, that is so cool. And she had it in her purse. I actually, as we're talking, I just packed mine, and mine, I don't even know the brand. My the mobility state girl came and brought a couple over just to kind of see what would work and what wouldn't. So I wish I knew which brand I was, but I want to say it's Optilect because that's what the cool kids are saying. But I don't know. But it's cool because it really just, I'm starting to use mine in meetings as well, because I would sit there and just kind of stare. But now that I'm in a meeting and people are passing out agendas, I'm able to kind of do with my CCTV, do a freeze frame, and then read things as we go along, as if I can just be anybody else in a sales meeting. So it's so much easier, and it kind of like bridges a little bit of a gap between us for like accessibility and keeping it mobile. It's super cool.
I don't
want to
be doing this at midnight. I want to be doing this.
Jessica, did you have the same one as Julie had?
I don't know. This is awesome. I have to put my mini CCTV under my big CCTV to see
because I know.
Julie has an Eschenbach. Julie has an Eschenbach.
I think I have an Eschenbach now that we're saying this.
Is that made in Germany?
Is it from Germany?
Yes,
it's white. Does that help anyone?
That one is $400, opposed to the one Maria just received from her state, which is $3,500 U.S.
How much?
The difference. $3,500.
No, it wasn't.
The
CCTV is $3,000 to $4,000.
Okay. Oh, so, sorry. Let me correct. If I'm buying it from Canada, sorry. Let me put that in there.
Oh.
That's how much. It me.
So it's 30. Then you need to order it from the States or something.
Well, no. I need to just move to the States.
We need to buy it for you here. US dollars. I only know the value because I have to actually sign off that I received this product. My compact video magnifier was $1,300.
Yeah, $1,300. And then the 5-inch, I've got the 5-inch one, and that unfortunately was like $1,200, the 5-inch one too.
Oh, wow.
Maria, does yours also take pictures of text and read it back to you as well? Audio?
No.
Okay.
My CCTV does. It has speech, but the portable one does not.
Okay. Lighthouse for the Blind has one that will.
Wow.
And it's about 7 inches also.
Oh, that's cool.
It magnifies and reads back.
Ooh.
Oh, that's cool.
Sounds awesome.
We know what Maria's getting next.
Well, I better ask for another one now. I better wait a while before I ask for another stuff, something from my rehab counselor because he's been spending some big money on me. But
so if you go out anywhere on your own, you almost need to take a suitcase.
I have to buy even a more bigger, cuter purse. So you know, it's a win-win.
I don't even have a purse. I got to buy a purse yet.
I got to buy a big tote now. But, I have my cane, my iPad, my magnifier, and, cute sunglasses, all the stuff. It's got to fit into one bag.
A purse on wheels.
Yeah, a rolling backpack, I can see it now. Oh, my gosh.
And then you need a snack because if you get stranded, you're going to have a snack.
Yeah, protein bar, water, all that stuff, right.
You need a new outfit then, too.
Well, we could go on and on, couldn't we? You need headphones. I mean, we could go on and on. But, we do require a lot of equipment. And the unfortunate thing is it's not cheap.
Bonus is that, state stuff is out there. There's a lot of, funding out there. Well, okay, not a lot. But there's funding out there that if you are patient and you wait, it took me 3 years to get my mini CCTV, but it's worth the wait.
Yeah, it depends upon your state and country, obviously.
You'll have to move out of Illinois, right, Aaron?
But hey, guys, speaking of dreaming of really cool gifts, do you guys have since it's the holidays, what do you guys do when you're at everyone's opening gifts? I mean, we were talking about Neil and how it's just kind of hard when you're sitting there and you're not part of the kids opening gifts. And what do you guys do anything special or different with your families that you try to get more involved, or do you do something special around the holidays that kind of helps a little bit see what's happening?
I was pretty fortunate in that my ex-wife's family always focused on one person opening their gifts at a time.
Mm-hmm. That's what we've always done.
So since I wrapped most of the gifts, what I would do is I would just sit down and whatever child we were giving gifts to, I would hand them to them. So I'd be close and watch them be able to be part of it,
Okay.
And usually I already knew it. I mean, I knew what it was, so that's if I wrapped it, usually. Or at least half of them. usually a two-parent deal to wrap presents for 7 children. So.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, that's awesome.
My rule, it's Lisa again, my rule in my house, because I lost my vision 12 years ago and my kids were 2.5 and 12 at the time, was they had to describe, anybody that was opening a present had to describe for mom, meaning me, what they were opening. And because my 2.5-year-old was this little, he had to tell me the color of the paper. It was a game, right? It was more of a test and, mm-hmm. and a learning process. But in reality, it was actually helping me so I could still be a part of it. As Aaron said, for Neil, I know exactly how he feels, as we all do. Mm-hmm. It's hard to sit back and you know what's in the present, maybe something, and you would love to be able to see that expression on your children's face or, you know, a family member's face, because you know how excited they'll be. So that's always been our rule in our house, is they have to describe what color's the paper. I know it's tedious and probably boring for them to do, but it makes it easier for us.
They can handle it.
Yep.
We get more appreciation too when you communicate what you're opening and such.
And this is Maria. I agree with Aaron. You know, only Neil and I, within a year of becoming affected, that first Christmas, you know, you're just don't even know what's going on. Second Christmas, just kind of sat there thinking, what am I supposed to do? Very isolated, felt very just, you know, put Maria in the corner kind of thing. But last Christmas, and I think we all talked about this on our last December's call, we all said, we're going to tell our families just what you guys are talking about. They have to describe things when they open them and, you know, down to the stripe or the whatever it is. And then if it's a fluffy scarf, you know, let me feel it so that I can get a feel for it. And I did that last year. I said, you know what, before we start, I have something to say. And I said my little spiel. And you know what?
Yeah.
Everybody described what they were getting, down to the teenagers, to the 20-somethings. They all did it, and I felt much more a part of the action, if you will. And and I'm sure it gets a little bit easier over the years, and you get, you know, more into a flow, but I couldn't agree more with that.
Well, people begin to realize and understand, too, the more they deal with it.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been doing this for 50 years, so... people will naturally start to describe things for you. It's funny.
Yeah. Well, you know what's even more, it's almost embarrassing, but you open a gift and you don't know whether to be like, you don't know how to react because you don't know what it is.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a hard time. It's a gift you open up for you. At least when you gave a gift, you know what it is.
right. And then you get the gift, and you're like, should I be excited? Should I fake the excitement? Should I fake that I like it? I don't know. What do I do? I don't even know what it is, you know?
Is this an ugly Christmas sweater, or is it something I want to wear?
Exactly. But so I figure you just kind of act excited no matter what it is and, you know, get away with it, I guess.
That's what I wanted to ask Aaron a while ago. If Neil has been through that, I remember having a surprise 50th birthday party, and you know, after you've had LA Joint for 30 years, it's still the same thing. You know, you open up gifts, and you don't know if it's a 50th birthday gag gift, something serious, funny, and you still feel, at least me, I still feel stupid or embarrassed. You know, because some people are filming it, you know, and you're just sort of staring at it. You don't know what it is.
Yeah.
You unwrap it, and what is it? You know.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're supposed to just say. Oh, exactly what I wanted.
Right.
Well,
right.
On the same line, I guess, Neil, like when we go somewhere, like we were at my 8-year-old football banquet and I have to go to the bathroom, so I left. And he's like, I don't know where to look because I don't know if people are going to think I'm staring at them, or it's just an awkward thing. I don't know if any of you kind of have that same feeling.
Oh, I feel that all the time, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'll be sitting in a meeting at work, and I'll be trying to look at the screen even though I can't see it, just because that's where I should be looking, you know? In any situation, so you worry about what you're looking at because, you know, you can't see. You don't know if somebody's going to be offended because they think you're staring. It's a
right, exactly.
Yeah, I think we all feel that way.
Or I've been at a show before, and the performers actually move to the right side of the stage, and I'm still looking in the center. And my friends are like, Maria, they're kind of over to the right. I'm like, oh. So I just looked over there so I would look normal, like, you know, looked like I was knew what I was doing. Instead, I'm just, like, smiling, looking at nothing, and, you know. But that's when you have, you know, those are your good friends. You're going to say, no, no, look over to the right. You know, and you're like, oh, thanks a lot, you know. You know, or move your water glass in front of you and let you know where this, you know, that is for you. It's those kind of things, or, like Aaron said, where to look. Or is somebody looking at you and talking to you? And you're like, are they looking at me? Do they want me to respond? I don't know, you know? And it's a lot of that. So Neil is right there with the rest of us, Aaron. Please let him know that.
I will do that. Bathroom
trash break. Well, we are getting close. I say close, but it's a little past 7. Do we have any newcomers on the phone that would like to say hello, or we have?
Yes. Hi, my name is Jason Lopian.
Hi.
It was actually my mother that was describing the eplay classes earlier.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I'm actually in New York City. Just got out of work, but I was just wondering. I don't know how much she told you, but basically, I recently lost vision. Was affected in my left eye. And my right eye was affected 5 years before. And so I kind of, you know, knew what was happening with the right eye. It's been stable for the past 5 years. And I have a pretty good, I think, peripheral vision, where it's kind of clear if I look above or to the right.
What mutation do you have?
I have a 3460.
Hey, me too.
Oh, nice.
No, that's not good.
No, I know. but so in my left eye, it's probably been about 2 months now since it's gone, you know, after the optic neuritis all summer, I think it's triggered. And it's been about 2 months since it's continuously been decreasing, and to the point where it's now worse in the right eye. But it doesn't seem my peripheral it doesn't seem to be as clear as the right. It seems like there's a bigger spot or even maybe the entire eye is just blurry. I was told from Dr. Zadun that, you know, it usually does get better, you know, after a couple months and gets to a similar situation as the other eye or the peripheral gets clearer. Has anyone here experienced that or, you know, what? I wasn't really aware of what was going on with the right eye when it went because I had my other eye, obviously. So I'm just curious as to what to expect going forward, you know, with the left eye. And I know it's different for everyone.
I'm totally just going to say that. Like, it's crazy to kind of talk with other people with LHON, and our vision is just so different. Like, for me, when I talk to Maria, we kind of compare, like, can you see that? Can you see that? You know, like, we all see things so differently. Like, for me, my peripheral vision is blurry. Like, everything's underwater to me, so everything's fuzzy. Like, I have no clear peripheral at all.
Okay.
But some people do, you know. It's just so different for everyone. And, I mean, there's so many factors with age. And I mean, when you are affected, you know, there's so many. It's hard to say that I highly doubt both of us, like, two of us have the same vision.
Yeah. And mutation number can make a difference, too.
Yeah, exactly. Jason, this is Andy, so I wanted to go ahead and say thanks for calling in first and welcome. But I'll echo kind of what Jessica said. And the only real similarity I think most of us share is that most of that change, whatever it happens to be, kind of occurs early. So it's been a couple months for you. You may continue to see some of that, but although it may change even if you don't notice it for years and years and years, most of that change will happen in a pretty short period. So, and so.
Okay, thank you.
But thanks for calling, Jason. I appreciate you being here.
I would have to agree. It happens suddenly and fast, stabilizes, and unfortunately, for me, it stayed the same for a very long time.
But who is that speaking now?
Okay,
sorry.
Is that Jim? John.
Okay. All right.
Uncle Jim, you there?
Hello?
Hello? Is Uncle Jim there?
Once it happens, I guess you said it does, you know, kind of happen early on and all at once, and then kind of levels out. I mean, has it ever, you know, I guess someone so attacked again, the same eye, or decreased significantly after being attacked once? I don't know.
I can only speak from my own experience, and I was affected like 50 years ago when I was 11, when I didn't even know. And my vision pretty much has not changed. It's pretty much been the same.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, once it's stabilized, it hasn't really changed. You know, at least from a utility perspective. You know, there may be some subtle changes, but I can pretty much do the same things that I've been able to do, you know, the whole time.
Okay.
But again, that's just me, so I don't know if that's consistent, because I've heard of other people that have had, you know,
same years later,
you know.
Same here. Right. I've had it 37 years, and it's pretty much the same. It's gotten worse. I really can't tell.
Jason, this is Maria. I've been affected or diagnosed for 2 years, and my vision declined pretty much until I got to about 18 months, and then it started to stabilize, and it's been stable for the last about 8 months or so, 6-8 months. It has definitely, you know, started to, the line isn't declining anymore. It's starting to level out, and I've heard that that's pretty normal for it to stabilize at a certain level, and then that's when people say it hasn't really changed since then. And, you know, my fingers are crossed. This is my stable point. Of course, we all think, I'll take it. You know, stop. I'll take it.
Yeah.
So, you know, so that's been my experience, and it's pretty recent. I did take a big dive a couple of months after, probably 4 months after I was diagnosed, although I'd been losing vision for a few months. And, I mean, a real dive and then smaller dive, and then I started getting the flat line, which I was thankful for. So, and I'm just 2 years diagnosed. So, and I've, again, been stable for about 6-8 months.
Okay.
Jason, I was just going to say, I mean, Jeremy's had it for 7 years now, and pretty much at every visit with Dr. Sadoun, the first question they say is, you know, have you noticed any change in your vision? And his answer for 7 years, every single visit has been, nope, you know, he hasn't. Because once it gets bad, it's bad, and he doesn't discern any difference. But then they test him, and, you know, he sort of has gone through different phases over the 7 years. I mean, at first it was just like worse, and then it was sort of stable. And he has been fortunate, and he's had some slight improvements, actually. So, like, if he was down at count fingers 2 feet, then he got to count fingers 4 or count fingers 6. So, you know, he's had – it's still legally blind, so it's not like, you know, Eureka. It's got better vision. On the other hand, you know, every bit of improvement is improvement, and, you know, I think that translates into more peripheral vision. You know, he's been pretty – specific about, he got the lecture really early on that, hey, this is a marathon, not a sprint. You know, don't expect things to turn around overnight, but, you know, you've got the 1.2 million optic nerve fibers, and your goal is to preserve every single one that you can, because you want to have every bit of, you know, vision, even if you don't know, you know, when they measure the OCT thickness, when they measure your visual fields, you know, his scotoma is getting ever so slightly smaller over time, which means his peripheral vision is getting ever so slightly bigger over time, which he can't perceive it, but it's actually there, you know. So 7 years into it, he's got a little bit more peripheral vision than he did at one point, you know, 6 years ago. So I don't know, that's where he's at, is, you know, just doing all he can to preserve all he can, because every little bit counts, because, you know, there's, you know, you don't have a lot left. You want to preserve it, and you may not be able to discern it. Does he still take the idebenone?
He's taken it for 7 years, and you know, who knows if that's part of it. But he's definitely, you know, he was a sophomore in college and he was in a fraternity, and he was, you know, some of the things that are top of the list, like smoking alcohol, were part of his life, and he's, you know, committed to, he understood early on that, you know, if he wanted to preserve vision, reducing those might help improve his odds, and taking the idebenone could improve his odds. So yeah, that's all been, you know, part of his experience, but everyone's different.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. Well, I'll say that I've said this before. I'll say it again. But for any first-time callers and anybody who hadn't been to any of the conferences, it's a great thing. It was my first conference last year, and it's like one of these calls. But way better. It's like to be able to actually walk in a room and meet everybody that has the same thing that you have. And it's just a good thing. So anybody that can come to Seattle next year.
When is the date? Do you know? Does anybody know the date? I know it's
Listen.
June 17th is the date. That's it's a Friday all day. And on Thursday, there'll be like a casual reception starting late afternoon, which is half the fun.
Half the fun. Okay. You think I'm coming from Florida to Seattle for half the fun? Come on.
Yeah.
Is that lame?
So, yeah. So Thursday, late in the day, Thursday is social activity, and then all day Friday is conference session. And then if you want to, it's aligned with the UMBS meeting. So if you want to hang around and learn more about other mitochondrial diseases, there's the Saturday is the mito meeting also, but that's not the same as, you know, the LHON meeting, which is on Friday.
Lisa, when will that information be on Facebook so we can book things?
You can actually book them now, and I posted it once, but I'll put the link up again now, and I'll put the link up now. The hotel's taking reservations, and it's the hotel, it's like right next to the airport in Seattle, so it's like not in a fabulous location in terms of fun in Seattle, but you can get there from here, you know, if you want to stay for the weekend and have fun, you know, you can get into Seattle, and there's fun stuff to do, and then the actual hotel, like I said, is right next to the hotel, so it's really convenient, fly in, and you're right there.
This is Candace, and I have a question. It has nothing to do with the conference, but so it's Christmas time, and we talked about the presents, but how are you guys shopping? I use VoiceOver on my iPhone, and I found a couple different apps that are accessible. I use, you know, Amazon, and I think I put in an order today using Safari with the Body Shop, but I haven't gotten an email, so I'm still a little confused, and you know, I grocery shop. I do my delivery grocery shopping with Safeway, and I know there's a few other. But how are you guys going to do your Christmas shopping?
This is Lisa from Canada. I'm done my shopping, and I have friends that take me out shopping. I myself have always been the kind of person that I want to pick out something.
Mm-hmm.
So I have people. I have an image in mind of what I want, and God help my friends. I mean, I love them dearly, and my mother, too. I say, this is what I want. Now, we go to a store, and there may not be anything remotely close to it, but I go with a list, and my friends have helped me pick out things or suggest things. So that's how I do it. I actually don't shop online at all.
I just want...
Only because I tried it last year, and because if I'm from Canada, it has to come through customs. And last year, I ordered something in October and didn't get it till January 31st. So,
I just want to do it by myself.
I know. I'd love to be able to, as I think we all probably would, but, you know.
I,
take somebody.
I've done
with
Friends
you.
Too, like Lisa. I've done Friends because I just didn't know any other way. And like Lisa said, thank my friends are patient with me. But I did do my first order on Amazon because, and I thought of you, Candace. Mm-hmm. And I thought Candace can do it. I can do it. And it was it took me a while for
mm-hmm.
sure. Not like the old days, but
mm-hmm.
I was able to do it, and I got it. Confirmation that it went through and everything. I'm still waiting for it, but you know, it's in the past, whenever I've wanted to buy something, what's the one place you always end up going? I'll check Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And it yeah. seems like 8 times out of 10 it's there.
Yeah,
but,
I do. Yeah, that is
yeah.
the best app for sure. Accessibility.
I've had UPS visiting me daily the last 4 or 5 days since between the Black Friday and Cyber Monday. I spent a couple of dollars on Amazon and Best Buy.
Is
and,
Best
and
Buy, it, is it, do you use VoiceOver? Is that accessible? I didn't even, I haven't tried that.
I actually don't use VoiceOver because I do it all on my iPad and I can just make it big enough to see.
Okay,
but,
that's
but,
one I haven't
but,
checked.
But I can't say I'm doing it because I can't see. I'm doing it because I hate shopping. You know, so even if I could see, I'd probably be ordering things that way. But
oh, it's yeah.
You know, I'm a man. I hate shopping. But but I've been using Amazon probably for about 7 years. It's like probably the way I've been buying gifts for about so probably 90% of my gifts have been Amazon over the last 7 years.
Mm-hmm. We're getting, yeah, I mean, Amazon's definitely the way to go. We get things like same-day delivery, which is
yeah.
amazing and ridiculous.
Well, and even so, I got something yesterday and it was broken. And I went online and told them it came, it was broken. And they reordered it instantaneously to deliver it to me. And all I had to do was reseal the box, basically. And they sent UPS to pick it up today to take it back.
Mm-hmm.
I have the same thing. I bought some stuff on Amazon, this is Jessica, and I probably ship Amazon more than I should admit. But what's cool is that they don't have, like, a minimum. I'm a Prime member, so they don't have a minimum. So I spent, like, $6 yesterday, and it's at my parents' house right now. But it's
yep.
cool because I have one address in there, so I don't know how they could have shipped it somewhere else, and I tracked the shipment. They said it delivered. I wrote the store, and I'm like, it never delivered. And I had one the next day. Like, they're great.
Yep.
I mean, I look at how accessible it is, but then how good are they going to take care of me if something goes wrong? And Amazon always steps up, so that's really good.
I've only had one experience where something didn't come when it was supposed to, and I went online and told them about it, and like you said, I think in 2 days they had replaced the order. Yeah, so I can't complain.
And, you know, you see so many stores now these days that are, like, you can find, like, Lucy, or, like, Lucy clothes is what I was looking for, but you can buy it on the site, or they now have so many stores on Amazon.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So to kind of buy from different, like,
yeah.
I can buy a shampoo, and I can buy, like, the Prime Pantry you told us about, Maria, months ago.
Yeah.
I buy Prime Pantry and a gift in one like,
yeah.
shopping experience. It's so much easier. And it comes soon.
Now, keep in mind, I've been affected since I was 11, so shopping was never fun because you go to a store, you can't see anything anyway. So it's
yeah.
like, so,
yeah.
so, you know, when I could actually, you know, read descriptions and stuff online, it's a lot easier, right? So,
right.
Mm-hmm.
So I never acquired the taste for the shopping experience like some of you might have.
Oh, I'm a girl. Like, bring it on.
Trust me. I miss being able to go by myself and pick all my stuff. Oh, I totally miss it.
Right.
I miss
right.
it.
Right.
Can I say one other
thing? Visual experience, right?
It is.
Yeah,
go ahead,
yeah.
Candace.
I just want to say one other thing. So I just, I've gotten it twice now because I was a total shopper. And anyway, like, I'm sure the women here can, you know, understand. But I've done Stitch Fix twice now. I don't know if anybody has heard of it.
What's that?
They basically will send you 5 items. You kind of like, they say you have like your own personal stylist, and they'll send you 5 items. And you can either keep all 5 items and you pay, and you get like, it's like 25% off if you keep all 5 items. Or you can just pick what you want and buy what, you know, like keep what you want. And they can, you do it like, I don't know, you can do it as long, you can probably as much as like every 2 weeks.
I think I might not is on every other month. And
what?
And so I've been emailing them, and my last order they said, so I said, I'm blind, so could you give me some descriptions? So they send these style cards, which don't do me any good, but, I said, could you email me some of the descriptions and let me know, like, what these things would match with? And they're like, absolutely. And so they were very kind, they were very helpful with saying, like, I got a pair of jeans, I got two cardigan sweaters, a really fancy, like, dressy top, and then, like, kind of like a more casual top. And they said, the pants, you can wear all of these tops into the sweaters with these pants, and then you can wear these boots or with, so it was really cool.
It's clothing?
It's Stitch Fix, yeah. Oh, and then I'll give you my referral code.
Oh, yeah. Okay, we'll contact you before we order.
Totally, yeah, but it's pretty cool.
Jessica's already getting the app downloaded right now.
Oh, my gosh, right? I'm like,
there is an app, yeah. You tell them what you like and what your style is and
your size and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
The fit pretty right on.
I don't know if anyone's heard of Trunk Club, but it's basically Trunk Club is the equivalent for men, if anyone's interested.
What is it called?
It's called Trunk Club.
Oh, really? Oh, I might have heard of it, but... I think that one's really...
Yes, so Trunk Club is similarly not a subscription service, so you don't have to subscribe. You can try it one time,
mm-hmm.
or you can do it as often as you want. They actually send you a trunk. It's not cheap at
all.
No. So the stuff is pretty high-end, but they send you a trunk full of clothes anytime you want. You have a personal stylist. And you can send back as much or as little as you want, as long as you keep, I think, at least one item, though you don't have to pay anything to have been sent the whole trunk. I do think you are charged something if you keep nothing.
Stitch Fix is like $20 for if you don't keep anything, you just pay $20. But if you do keep
exactly.
anything, that goes towards your item.
Exactly. So it's a similar thing. I mean, there are actually lots of things out there, subscription services that I've take advantage of now that basically send you things every so often, including Nature Box, which is a good one where I get all my snacks from.
Oh, yeah.
These days, I don't know if anyone knows Nature Box,
mm-hmm.
but
I do.
I'd recommend Nature Box. I'd recommend everything from Dollar Shave Club for the guys out there.
Oh, we do that too.
I don't know if people have heard of. This is just a good tool for anyone and everyone, but Casper mattresses. Is a new company that I will go ahead and give two thumbs up to. It's a delivery service. So
you work for them.
Drive, yeah, I do. I don't work for Casper, but okay. I would recommend it to anyone. They actually deliver you a mattress in a box, and it is an amazing mattress. So for those people who don't drive, don't get out, and want to look for any of those fun things, all subscription or all online services that have apps that are very accessible, and phenomenal customer service. So there you go.
Mm-hmm. That's all good information. A Trunk Club. I'll have to look at that.
Call 1-800-ANDY.
That works too.
Did you receive any financial incentives to give us that?
No. Casper is not a sponsor of LHON Live, but we can try to get them to be.
We need to start getting that sponsor. There we go. Nice.
You know, Andy, it's just it's the business we're in that I think about that.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah. We break in halfway through, like, now a word from our sponsor. Awesome.
Hey, advertising pays my salary, so I don't complain.
Yeah.
Hey, Andy, it's Brody. How was your birthday the other weekend?
My birthday was great. I hope you had a good one, too, Brody.
Yeah, no, I went with a buddy. We went to the indoor shooting range, shot some guns, and then watched the hockey game after. It wasn't
very,
too,
very
too
cool.
exciting, but yeah, it was pretty good.
Can't go wrong with hockey.
Sorry?
Can't go wrong with hockey.
Yeah, yeah. And I was kind of indecisive about the shooting. I shot guns like 3 years ago, but that was before when my right eye was affected and I could still see my left, but I went with another blind fella, and he just is really hazy for him, so he's pretty good at the targets. But, it was a good experience, though.
If it makes you feel any better, I've never shot a gun when I could see.
Oh.
I have sense, but not when I could see. Only a target, though, never anything else.
Yes, yes.
Well, I hope you weren't shooting when you're 8 and 9, 10 years old. My goodness. that wouldn't be good.
Not in New York. Not
yeah,
in Long Island.
No. Well, not in California today either.
No.
Anyway.
Well, guys, anything else to add? If not, I'm going to wrap up our December phone call. Plus, it's getting late for some people. So, anyone want to add anything?
Nothing other than Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays.
Yes, Merry Christmas.
When's the next call?
January?
Melissa?
The next call will be January it looks like it will be the 7th?
6th. Wednesday
the
6th?
The 6th, yep.
January 6th.
And then there's also a special call. I don't know if anyone, well, Candace would probably be the right group shot for this, but there's also a special call that you hopefully you saw that we're doing it next Tuesday. And it's just some of the folks who have kids in high school had asked if we could do a special call just focused on issues around having LH1 and being in high school. So if there's anyone here who, anyone who knows anyone in the group who has gone through LH1 in high school and wants to share those experiences, especially the recent ones, you know, and to give advice and help and guidance to some of the folks who are newly dealing with it, that's the purpose of next Tuesday's call. So it's specifically not one of our regular monthly calls. It's really focused and, you know, it really doesn't affect most of the group, but there is that call taking place next Tuesday. And if anyone's interested, I just heard from Mary Alexander, who runs a program through Learning Ally, who helps people deal with vision issues in college and high school, and she's going to sit in on the call. So we'll sort of have an expert sitting in on the call for advice there, too. So, again, if you're interested in the topic of LH1 in high school, that's happening next Tuesday on the same phone numbers.
That's funny. I thought that was the call tonight, and I kept thinking, oh, so weird. What is that? But I must have read my email right.
Well, I'm glad you got on anyway, Kim.
I know, me too.
and that call will be recorded, right, Lissa?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, good.
If I do it right or if you coach me through the buttons or whatever, we'll figure it out.
We'll manage it. We'll manage.
We got you.
But at the same time, so I just went to an IEP seminar of, like, how to help advocate for the parents and your own, you know, anyway. But I think anybody who's on this call, it would be helpful to listen on the call next week because, you know, you always talk to people and you're like, you know, if, you know, my son or my daughter's going through this, they're in high school, and, you know, just to get that other, those little two cents of more information is helpful than to pass it on.
Yeah, I mean, of course the call's open to everyone as always. Like I said, I just, you know, we wanted to make it real specific to that, but yeah, it's absolutely open to anyone. And you're right, probably a lot of the concepts apply. And Candace, I hope you'll bring all that to next Tuesday's meeting because Jeremy was affected in college, so I honestly have no experience with IEPs in high school. So there's a couple other folks who are going to, you know, be on the call, but I need folks who have been through it and who know what they're talking about. So hopefully you and others will be on the call to share the knowledge and the information.
Do we know what time that call will be?
The typical time, 5 o'clock Pacific, 8 o'clock Eastern. We figured that's sort of the best time to catch all parts of the U.S.
Okay.
This is Pauline Wilcox, and I just wanted to ask a quick question because I know that we're way past the time. But before I ask my question, I just want to, if I could be there in person with you guys, I would give you all such a big hug because I have sat on these calls numerous times, and since my son was affected 3 years ago, it's made me feel like I'm not on an island, and I think it's helped a lot for me to know, how what to be doing. But the question I have that I'd just like to throw out, it's a little bit of a fun one, but I've been struggling this Christmas with Christmas gifts because buying clothes, even though, you know, like I know some of the women have a lot of fun with it still, but for a guy, at least my son, giving him clothes and stuff like that now is not nearly as much fun. So I've been struggling with trying to come up with some kind of game, whether it was something online or something that he could participate in, because I felt so bad at Thanksgiving when all of the younger folks, my son's 25, and when all of his cousins were sitting around playing a game at the table, he really was excluded because, you know, he couldn't read the cards. So I didn't know if anybody has experience or recommendation of some type of game that would be appropriate, you know, if he's 25, so it's not like he's really little and he's not a lot older. I don't know. Are there any thoughts out there?
Pauline, this is Maria, and it's so cute to hear your voice. I just, at Thanksgiving, had it my house first time, and it was great. But my little nephew, who's 12, really wanted to play apples to apples. And I'm like, ugh, yeah, what am I going to do, you know? But you know what I did? I buddied up with my brother-in-law. So we were a team. He read the cards to me. You know, we're together. We weren't just separate cards. And you know what? I felt just as a part of it as anybody else, because, you know, he just read them to me in my ear, and then we'd kind of discuss which one we were going to pick or which one we're going to put on the table or whatever it was together, and it was just a team effort, but I wasn't sitting there just watching and listening, which is a lot of times what we end up doing, but teaming up, there's my point, teaming up with another cousin or, you know, relative, you know what, that experience Thanksgiving really solidified that that's the way to go for, you know, for some games. If it's doable, right? If it's doable. And it was totally fun. It was super fun.
We played that on Thanksgiving, apples to apples.
Yeah. So, Wayne, how did you do it? I mean, did you?
Well, I do it, you know, with my 15X glass. You know, I do it myself. I'm all right.
Yeah, but even without vision problems, though, like if you have a large group, sometimes just teaming up is a fun way to do it. Like so like you're playing something like Trivial Pursuit, you know, there's only so many colors, right? So you team up, right? And so that's one of the things that when I was younger, we as a family we did, and it was pretty easy to do. And because I like Wayne, I can read it with my 15X magnifier, but it's more fun to team up sometimes.
Well, that's a great idea, and I think that maybe as he gets more comfortable with this, he'll be more willing to do that too.
You have to think about is the reason we're teaming up isn't because he can't see. The reason we're teaming up is just because it's fun to team up. So inspire everyone else to team up so it's not so conspicuous, right?
Good.
This is
Candace.
Does your son read Braille? Does somebody else?
Yes.
Pauline, being a guy around the same age, I certainly understand the whole ego thing with your son, and I'm willing to admit that that's part of it. But like John said, when multiple people team up, it becomes easier to do. But there are several games, and I think we mentioned this last Christmas. We talked about the game Last Word, and also a game that I started playing with friends called Imagine If. Those are two games that basically you don't need much vision to do at all. But then there are several games like Catchphrase and Taboo and whatnot, which, yes, you need vision to be the reader or the describer. However, there's always only one person doing that and lots of people guessing, and that is a role that any of us could do as easily as anyone else. So that's kind of how I modify some of those games for me as well.
Yeah, that sounds like...
I don't know how much vision your son has, but, you know, charades, Pictionary.
Yeah, I don't know if...
Pictionary?
I don't know if he can...
Out, Wayne.
Right.
Imaginary.
This is Candace, and there's a one game that we play that's a group game, and, like, everyone stands around, and it's called the Left, Right, Center. And that's a lot of fun because you're all calling out on everybody. So, you know, just because there's one blind person there that, you know, everyone's telling up what they are. And, you know, it's a lot of fun and it's interactive. So that might be something to look at. But
That's a good idea. I will tell you one thing. As I was listening to you talk about how your opening gifts and having them described. One way as we get together as a large family exchanging gifts, one way that we've slowed it down so that only one person is opening at a time is my son is very smart, so thank God he's got that in his favor. So he loves Trivial Pursuit, so we've taken the cards, read the item, and whoever could get the answer first was the one who got their gift. And unfortunately, Bennett seemed to be the one to get the answers most of the time, but, you know, he still only got one gift. So. But the Trivial Pursuit is a good one, even, you know, to your point, if you team up or at least read it.
I would never get a gift, I'll tell you that right now. I would be the one, I would walk away with nothing.
I was one of the last ones. Yeah, I was too, Maria. So.
Okay, good. That's the only
that's
one.
That's why you need teams.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, team effort.
You make sure you pick a good teammate.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for entertaining me with that, because I've just struggled. But I did buy a set of playing cards that have larger letters on them. I don't know if it'll be large enough for him, but at least it's worth a try. So.
This will be Braille?
No, he does not. No.
Okay. So I do the Braille go fish with my kids and.
But actually with cards, even if you don't read Braille, I mean, there's not that many, you know, variables. So you could probably teach him how to read the cards pretty easily if he can't read the regular ones, the large ones.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. That you know, you kind of know the color.
Well, and there is large, and there is the jumbo extra large. There's multiple varieties of those. Trust me, I've looked at all of them.
Okay,
if you go to like a preschool school, like earlier learning years for say kindergarten or first grade, they have that kind of stuff. I know your son's 25 or older. But they do actually have letters and words and games with larger print. That's what I did at the beginning. I've kind of said the alphabet go fish, the number go fish. They're letters and numbers the size of your hand, some of them. But they also have games there. That's another option to go. It may be a little too young, but there are cards and there are other kind of games that you can do.
Okay. Good ideas. Thank you. I'll check them out.
Thank you so much for joining us and speaking up. We're so glad to have you.
Well, thank you. I feel like I did more listening, which is a change for me, so it's kind of good. But
well, we
you.
Love it. And, you know, that's what's so cool about these calls. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to say before we do end, though, I'd love to wish all of you a Merry Christmas, because, it, like I said before, it's such a gift to me. And so I hope – I just love the holidays, and I hope that you guys all enjoy them immensely.
Thank you.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas to all of our LA Twins family, you know, and especially for our newcomers like Jason, and we're so excited to have new voices. It's cool to be able to have a place to kind of every month have people for go-to for questions and things that kind of everyone just totally gets. So that's been really cool that I look forward to each month with LA2N. It's cool because different things pop up. I mean, I've been affected for almost 3 years, I think. And something new pops up every so often, and it's so awesome to be able to at least connect with someone that says, like, oh, my God, you're totally going to get this. And it's nice that we're here and we have this awesome community and family that we know that we can kind of count on. So thank you guys so much for coming, and I wish you guys all a Merry Christmas, all from, on behalf of LA2N Live, all of our hosts, Maria, Andy, and myself, and just thank you guys so much for coming.
Thank you
for having it, because it's so cool.
Thanks, everyone.
Take care now.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
Thank you. Merry Christmas. See you in January.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. See you in January.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.